Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Irregular Bitches, the podcast for our midlife tribe who not only want to survive through the menopause, but thrive. We are here to bring the fun, the gallows humour and the gin. I'm Sarah Kaywood, once a 90s and noughties broadcaster and now a mum on the school run, desperately trying to get through that to-do list. And my co-host is lovely Lou Mitchell, who is a mum of teens and therefore reliving her youth vicariously through them. She went to the Leeds Festival last week. Hello. How was that? I can't think of anything worse.
Yes, I love festivals, but I realise the festivals that I love are more for my own age group because
with a proper
at Leeds Festival,
yeah.
Well, it was. There's two things about that. So at Leeds Festival, it is predominantly younger people, which is fine. But just Duncan and I, that wasn't. In fact, the one of the longest queues for the food area was the coffee line, which was clearly all the parents who are literally just medicating themselves through the whole experience. Kids loved it, absolutely loved it. It was dusty, it was kid-filled, a lot of drugs going around, actually.
Really? You know, teen-filled, we should stress, teen-filled, not like
not
8-year-old.
Kids, yes. No. Young children, very few people our age. We were there because it was Johnny's birthday present to have a day ticket. He's 16, to see his favourite band. So the Arctic Monkeys were headlining. So we went along to, he got the train up. We arrived at mid-afternoon, saw bands that I've never heard of. Actually, we had the best time in the dance tent.
Of course you did. You're an old raver.
It was fabulous. We both really enjoyed that. Although Duncan did pee on my chip slightly because he told me I looked like Kevin and Perry when I was dancing. I said, that's not very part of the festival vibe. I'm allowed to do my Kevin and Perry dancing without embarrassment. And now you've peed on my chips. So that wasn't ideal.
That's hilarious.
Yes, not for us, but there we go. Kids loved it and we were very positive with the kids about it. So there
yeah,
we go. It's done and we won't do it again.
That's wonderful.
He'll camp with his mates next time.
I just have to tell you, because this has just reminded me, but I listen to Radio 2 religiously because I'm an old bird. And on a Saturday, Dermot O'Leary has the Saturday morning show at 8 o'clock. And he used to do a thing about old ravers, which you would definitely have qualified for. And this this piece he did used to be called One Foot in the Rave.
Oh, fabulous. I'd love that.
Isn't that brilliant? What producer came up with that? I was like, that's... And he'd basically get old ravers on to talk about their rave days. And they would still be raving, you know. And I was like, oh, God, no. I mean, but you're a proper old raver, aren't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, I have been involved in organising a couple of raves back at university.
Illegal ones?
Of course.
Hey! It's my girl.
But we made a fortune.
Honestly, that's it. You could have been a promoter.
Could have been. Needed to leave that at university.
Yeah. Well, bravo you for going to a festival, because I went on a friend's hen do to Latitude a couple of years ago, and no, actually longer than that. She's got a baby now, so it's probably about 4 or 5 years ago. And
I love Latitude. Latitude's very lovely and gentle.
I always said I would never go to festivals without a rock star and a tour bus, and I, you know, when I was going out with Adam from the Blue Tones, I managed the tour bus on many an occasion, and I would generally have a production pass as well, and I was spoiled.
Well, that's a different kettle of fish.
That's a different festival vibe. So
I would say so.
Yeah, production
area.
The
rest of us
toilets.
Still do. Yes, still the rest of us do still. But Latitude is very family focused. The loser nights.
I just can't do. I just need to be backstage, babe.
Well, there's nothing we could do about
that. And I can't do that
having
anymore.
Having not ever been backstage, I have no idea. So my levels are lower.
I am no longer with the band, as Pamela DeBar would say. So festivals can do one in Kaywood's book now. I'll just read all the books. Anyway.
Irregular. Bitches.
Our guest today is the producer of Davina McCall's two groundbreaking documentaries for Channel 4, Sex, Myths and the Menopause, which started the revolution. And she's also the author of Everything You Need to Know About the Menopause, But We're Too Afraid to Ask. Thank goodness for both Davina and Kate Muir for bringing this baby out of the corner and taking it centre stage on the dance floor to do a fancy lift. We are all forever grateful. Please welcome Kate Muir to Irregular Bitches.
Thank you.
Hi, Kate, you all right?
I'm very fine, thank you very much.
First of all, how did it all come about? Because I know you make documentaries, you have a background as a filmmaker, a journalist, film critic, but how did you come to do this with Davina? Did you know her, or was it your idea, her idea? How did it germinate?
It came out of the total car crash of my own menopause, which I always say is not just the car crash, but the full Thelma and Louise off the cliff. I made a right
Love
mess
that.
Of everything.
Uh-huh.
I had no idea in perimenopause what my mad symptoms were. And the incredible thing that hit me was memory loss. I just couldn't remember the words for things like simple nouns like razor. I was writing shaver on my shopping list. And at that point, I got into my friends and I said, what are you all doing about this stuff? Have I got dementia? And they said, no, you need to get HRT. And no one had told me that. And these are articulate friends I went out drinking with every week. And we really, really hadn't crunched into the menopause. And then I got my memory back. I stopped having heart palpitations. And I thought, I can't let this happen to anyone else. This is bonkers. Why didn't I know about
Love
these
that.
Two weirdo symptoms, which were weirdo then, but obviously we all know about them now. And so then I thought, right, I'm going to make a documentary. And I met Louise Newson, and I'd never made a documentary before. And we got money to make the documentary. And then lockdown arrived. They took away the documentary money and I had to think of a way of sorting it all out. So I wrote a book.
Oh,
and then
God.
I thought, right, I'm coming back with this documentary, even though I've never made one. And my friend Lorraine Candy, who does the Postcards from Midlife podcast, said, Davina would be really good on this. See if you can. So I rang her and she was driving back an hour in her car and we were yabba, 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 yabba. And we had really similar menopause disasters in different ways, in a really personal way. And we had this very personal phone call for an hour and I didn't know her, but I sort of did the way that Davina is.
Yeah.
And so we were both incredibly honest. At the end of the phone call, she says, I'm up for this. And I'm like, whoa! Because, you know, you can't present a documentary like that unless you've got someone who can really change people's minds. And she was just such a powerful figure of health and happiness and wit. And rather than someone who was going to sit there moaning and go, oh, it's been really rubbish for me, you know. So I was really lucky to meet her. And I was also lucky to hit lockdown and have to do the science work before I did the documentary, so I did all the research.
Mm-hmm.
So out of disaster came these two documentaries and there's going to be a third. So we will have a menopause trilogy.
That was one of my questions.
And if you told me I was going to make a menopause trilogy, I'd have said that's bollocks.
Love it.
And here you are. And you know why I think Davina's the perfect presenter for it, because I mean, obviously I met Davina back in the day when I was broadcasting, and she is one of the few presenters, I think I could probably name about five, that like her warmth radiates through the screen. And even though I once read that she used to helicopter from Big Brother to her house in the south of France, who knows whether that was true, you'd never
so
know
relatable.
That so, but she is even if that was true, she's still relatable, which is amazing. And she's just warm and kind and feels like your big sister. And I think that's what everybody needed. Although, you know, I would say that obviously Davina brings that certain je ne sais quoi to it, but you and Louise Newson would have probably done an amazing job as well. But you've got to take, for those people listening that don't know telly, if you want something to get commissioned, Kate, you have to
Yeah, it was more than that. I mean, she really, really dug down into it. And as the years have gone on, because we've been at this since, you know, 2021. She's really, really, I mean, she's got the most amazing knowledge now of the whole area. And, you know, we send one another science papers at night. You would never have thought that.
Wow, that's amazing. I do love it because people look at her, I think, and they think if somebody that glamorous and seemingly has it all together can be this honest about what was happening, then maybe I can be honest with myself and my friends as well. Because I think that oftentimes the first person you need to be honest with is yourself. I had a good friend that was telling me for about 2 years that I needed HRT because my PMT symptoms were getting so bad. So it was the rage.
Love Ragey. The rage. Shall we talk about the rage?
Did you ever have the rage? Okay, you tell me about your rage.
These are the items I threw during perimenopause at the kitchen wall, okay? So
that's another one of my questions.
Blue poster paint, broccoli, a butter dish with butter in it, so all the bits all landed together in a terrible mess. A butternut squash, a very dangerous missile, and a copy of Nigella Christmas.
Well, I'll give you that last one.
No one was injured, right? I threw them at the wall. I do not throw things at walls. I'm not an angry person. It just came out of me like I was possessed. Literally suddenly possessed, and I was throwing things at the wall, and then everybody was really nice to me afterwards, and it totally cleared the air, and they just thought, oh, mum's got a bit mad, because, you know, three children, a dog, full-time job, sick mother, all these things happening at once. I was bonkers, I think so many women, you know, having lived through it, because you're not just a journalist researching it, you are a live example in the petri dish of what's going on at the same time, and you are also chucking things at the wall. I never do things like that now. I'm on HRT. I'm like motoring along, calm, it's pretty well okay. You know, I maybe get angry again at people not kind of paying attention to the menopause or incredible unfairness in the medical system or something, but I do not get angry at sort of people in that way at all. You must have felt the same.
Yeah. Mine was drinks against the wall, like you, not at people, but it was whatever was in my hand, which seemingly is either vodka and tonic or a cup of coffee. Didn't matter what it was. It got smashed against the wall in whatever cup it happened to be in, which is a huge amount. Do you know what it is as well? Well, I think that's why rage is exactly the right word. I don't want to clean that shit up. I don't want to spend an hour, 40 minutes cleaning it up.
It's
that's
red
how
mist.
Annoyed I was. Yeah.
It's
and
red
no
mist.
Thought attached to it.
But there must be this thing building up inside us. And I also think the other kind of great thing about menopause and perimenopause is it peels away all your soft layers of love and, you know, being just all floaty, lovely mum person usually or whatever kind of person at work. And you're terribly honest. And I think some of that honesty is absolutely brilliant. Just not when it hits the wall, but, you know, that peeling away all those sort of layers that particularly our generation who've kind of done everything, I think, and have really managed to kind of hold a lot down, literally kind of pushing it down as well. And it suddenly bubbles up and we are shouting. And I think we need to.
Yeah.
And I think we need to acknowledge that exists and we'll embrace it in a way because it's funny as well, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I have never thrown anything. Because I used to do that when I was younger, when I was premenstrual, and I've ruined really nice things that I had. So I will like, and my daughter has that in her now. She's 8, and she'll get something, and I'll be like, if you break it, it's on you. I'm not replacing it. So like, she's getting control of her temper. And I have had a temper. I would lose it like a couple of times a year. But when, I guess in the last 3 years, this red mist would come down, and I would lose my shit. So I remember I've lost best friends. I have, you know, my marriage nearly ended. 'Cause 6 of 1 half dozen of the other, perhaps a little bit. But I was not coming from a calm perspective to try and, you know, work out what our issues was. And I was once I was clawing at my face and I was on my bedroom floor and I was just going, somebody help me. And I've said, Lou knows this. I've said that if somebody... if a therapist had walked in the room at that moment, they probably would have had me sectioned that day. And it was all, by the end of the day, it was gone. Like you said, Kate, that the calm comes very quickly after the storm. But the storm is just tornado sized and terrifying because I felt really out of control a few times of my, and people would trigger me. So somebody sent me a text message that really triggered me, and I voice noted them back, and I was like, just leave me alone. And I was screaming, and I must have sounded like a crazy person, but and I was on HRT at the time, but that was when I realized, I rang the doctor, and I was like, I was on the gel, and I was like, I don't think I'm absorbing it, because this is not me. So it was that, again, going back to that one size fits all, and now I take the two pills and they seem to really work for me. And I, like you say, there's a sort of zen-like calm now. Like my husband, he edits this, so he's going to hear it. But sometimes he can just, you know, really get upset with me and should be shouting at me because he's tired or I have done something wrong or something. And I'm just like that.
It's real exorcism, isn't it? It's menopause, the exorcist.
It's... It's absolutely bonkers.
Is that the name of the third?
The third one. head spinning, pea soup puking.
Irregular. Bitches.
Did you have any idea, Kate, of the impact they were going to have? Because in the second documentary, Davina talks on camera about the fallout. And she was like, and even now I'm still getting thousands and thousands of messages, and she said she just
I think it was all out there, and there were many menopause movements who are wonderful all coming together, but they were quietly kind of in some ways bubbling under, and then we just provided a kind of center for the mass scream, actually, didn't we? And I thought with the program we had no idea whether it was going to go anywhere at all, and it got sort of just over a million on its first evening up against a big football match. And then by the end of the week, it got 2 million. And that was the point at which we realised everyone has told their friends, because that's not how television programmes usually behave, like documentaries. And so it had kind of gone viral. Davina had gone viral. And also we'd opened up to these conversations on podcasts and in the newspapers. And, you know, the honesty that, you know, once someone had told their story, then everybody else was telling their story and no one was embarrassed anymore. And, you know, people like Diane Danzebrink, who's done a wonderful bit of work also, you know, on the menopause, who were also talking about it. I think that whole movement funneled up, and we awoke a sort of sleeping army of Amazons, you know, who wanted to talk about the menopause. And it's, you know, it's the big issue of the feminists of our generation in one sense, and in an intersectional way. It truly is. And it's been so neglected. And my real interest later on, after having done the initial work, was in where's the science and why isn't it there? And why has no one funded it? And why, when ordinary women can see that this is a hormone that's the same as the one in my body, it's body identical, it's much safer than the other hormone, and here's the old hormone that was made from horse urine and synthetic progestin, and why would I be given the old synthetic thing? Bleh. And why aren't I be given something, you know, that on the whole for most women is much safer? And once, you know, smart women who are good at the wellness and health space start looking at that conversation, they get really angry at the lack of information coming from the medical establishment and, you know, the control of which Big Pharma has over what we're putting in our bodies. So I'm very, very interested in speaking out about the lack of research now as well.
Dr. Finn, the menopause medic, was highlighting exactly this with regards to, I asked, why do our GPs initially just... give us estrogen and progesterone and not testosterone? And she said the fundamental easy answer is lack of research, and that cuts through female
the testosterone
medical
thing is shocking
issues.
Isn't it, because it is our biggest hormone, and I don't know if you're on it, but I'm on it. I just got it 2 days ago, at the Royal Free Menopause Clinic. And I'd had it privately, but I wanted to put all my whole stuff together underneath the NHS and not have to kind of sneak around going to get a private tube of testosterone. So I was on the waiting list for 6 months. I tried twice with my GP before that to ask for it. I went to the Royal Free Menopause Clinic and I went to gynaecology and I said, hello, where's the menopause clinic? They said, we don't know. And I said, I've got an appointment. And they said, oh, that might be under community gynaecology in a different building, is it? Oh, okay. So then they sent me to the other building, community gynaecology. I wander in. And then I say, is this the menopause clinic? And the woman goes, And I go, oh, I've got an appointment. And then I look around for a sign that might say menopause clinic. I mean, it's not there maybe every day, but it is, that's where it is. And I find lots and lots of leaflets on contraception and lots of posters on contraception. And I'm thinking, there's not a single poster here on the menopause, which every single woman gets. And not every single woman is coming in for contraception, you know. And I just thought, there's no leaflet, there's no nothing. We're in a dark kind of place at the back of a very good London hospital. Nobody gives a damn. And, you know, I had a quick consultation. Mm-hmm. I got the testosterone. They said, oh, it's in a pump. So it's actually the man-sized blob. So you have to take half of the blob and put it in a little tub in the fridge and just use half the blob every day.
Oh, I'm going,
you know, and then I thought, well, what, you know, what if we use it as hair gel? What if someone eats it? You know, and it's just like, it's absolutely daft. Obviously, you just dispense a lot of it and work out that you need a pea-sized blob every day, etc. But it just the idea that that is the conversation you go in and have. And the number of barriers, okay, and I know exactly what I'm doing. I know exactly what I need to say. You know, I've written a chapter on testosterone. I know much more than the doctor prescribing it. And, you know, it's extraordinary. And the other thing we did when we did the tele program last time, I actually did some real testosterone tests on the women who came and did little videos for us. And so what I got them to do was do a test at the beginning before they took the testosterone of learning very long phone numbers. So they'd get a 9-figure phone number and they'd have to type it quickly back into their computer. Some of them could only remember 5 or 6 figures at once. That was where the phone number kind of, and it was a sort of proper cognitive test. So a lot of them were coming in with a 5 or 6 out of 10. And then we did it to them 3 months later and they were getting much, much higher. They were maybe getting 8 or 9 out of 10. So that was really interesting just to see the improvement in their memory. And we also made them do sort of kind of tests where you had to think about 2 things at once. You had to click on a thing with hearts on it and diamonds on it and move it around. You know, it was one of those very annoying cognitive tests. And they did it before and they did it afterwards. And they performed better on kind of doing 2 tasks at once, basically. Didn't have time to do all that in the program. And also it wasn't scientific. I just had like 6 people doing it. And it was for our own interest, but we were thinking in the program, they're all going to talk about libido. Obviously, we like libido in the program. It's always good to have a bit of sex.
Sex sells, but baby.
What they talked about most was energy, sharpness, feeling really on it. So that was really interesting. They talked about the mental effect 10 times more than they talked about the libido, which they were pleased with. They were absolutely delighted. But that wasn't what it was about. And that is what we need research on. And there has been research in Australia. And the woman who did it seems very frightened of her own research and says it's not important enough. And she spoke to the British Menopause Society a couple of months ago, Susan Davis. And she was head of the International Menopause Society. And I interviewed her for my book about testosterone. And she was quite strong on the mental effects and now seems to have pulled back. And I'm really interested, is there some sort of movement that doesn't want us to get testosterone? Why isn't the British Menopause Society out there fighting for us on this hormone? And I just wonder what's going on.
Is it completely safe, Kate?
It's great. It's really, really great. I mean, you put on 10 times the amount of testosterone you've been prescribed, you might grow some hairs on your chin. But what I use is what I had when I was 40, perhaps a bit less. So I'm using exactly, and you know, my daughter who's 22 has twice the amount of testosterone in her system than I do. She's not hairy. You know, it's you know, the idea that actually one of the things it says in the kind of very technical bits of medicine about what might happen, it says your clitoris might grow a bit. I'm like, oh dear.
Yay! We're here
but,
for
you
it.
Know, none of this seems to have happened.
Irregular. Bitch.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Yes.
What do you think will change moving forwards, Kate? What has to change?
Well, I think with the menopause in general, the conversation really needs to get very, very practical. And I also think there's a huge corporate thing going on around the menopause and femtech and people making menopause potions and menopause creams. And most of them are no better than something you could just get in your supermarket. And they've got a big menopause, this will save your hot flush label on it. So I think there's a huge commercial exploitation of the menopause happening and lots of people selling snake oil and a lot of people going in and say, I'll tell your whole company about the menopause. Here's how to make reasonable adjustments at work and this will change women's lives. No, no, no. What we need is practical help and possibly, you know, help with mental health as well. So very much, I think we need a complete overhaul of doctors' knowledge of HRT and also doctors' knowledge of prescribing to women who can't take HRT, that there are solutions that are not just antidepressants, that some blood pressure medicines work. And we need research into things like, and I know you've had a program on this, CBD, hybrid CBD oil and how that can make a difference. What else can make a difference? You know, obviously meditation and all these things help, but this is very much the kind of lucky middle class people who've got time to sit around looking after themselves. And I think if you're in a really tough job, you know, working particularly, say, in the NHS, you know, I've got friends who are nurses who, you know, they're always doing a 12-hour shift and you cannot sit around beside your fan at your desk. You need solutions. And so I think we really, really need that menopause clinic, you know, in that hospital to work for the staff of that hospital. But there's a big sign that says go down there, you know, that there are menopause cafes. So we really, really need to keep fighting the fight and very much for the whole sisterhood and not just those who can go and find the fancy, you know, or the fancy private hormones or whatever. It should be a sort of God-given right to us as women to have our own hormones back. And for 80 to 90% of us, this will make a huge difference in life. And I think the big argument next, which we are very strongly making and talking about, is how does HRT affect my long-term health? And now that we've got these fantastic studies, there's one came out in May-June in the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology magazine, and they studied the about 500,000 women in the UK database. And they looked at their prescriptions and they took 43,000 women who'd had breast cancer and 430,000 to balance it out who had not had breast cancer. And they looked at what HRT they were using, what specific HRT. And the ones who were on the old HRT, which we know didn't do well in the World Health Women's Health Initiative study, the ones on the old HRT had a tiny raised increase of breast cancer. However, the ones on the HRT I'm on, which is the body identical regulator stuff, you know, estrogel and utrogestan available on the NHS, had a tiny bit lowered increase in the decrease in the risk of breast cancer. So basically, there was no increased risk for those of us who are on body identical hormones. So the whole conversation about risk is irrelevant. And although there's not been, you know, a randomized control scientific trial, if we can just look at the prescription data of 500,000 women in our country and see what's happening to them, then I would rather go on that knowledge. And going from that point, so we're looking at HRT being really, really on the whole safe for most women. At that point, the question is, do we want to get osteoporosis? Do we want to get heart disease? Do we want to get type 2 diabetes? Do we want to get colon cancer? Do we want to get macular degeneration? Now, those five things and more are lowered by using HRT, body identical HRT. And osteoporosis, if you've got the start of osteoporosis and you go on HRT, some of the scientific studies that I've looked at have shown bone density growing by 3% a year. Now, that's a kind of miracle, isn't it? Do you want to have a Zimmer frame or do you want to go on HRT? You know, nobody's looking 20 years ahead, and they should be. And, you know, here we are, we've got this incredible gift for women's health. We've got this thing that is going to stop women dying of heart attacks because it's going to, you know, look after their blood vessels and keep it all elastic. Basically, you know, it's your WD-40 in your body. And nobody is understanding that, right? But, you know, you think, right, a hip operation, £15,000 for the NHS. And, you know, lots of those older women die after their hip operation, don't they? You know, HRT per year, I don't know, £120. I mean, it's you know, it is your miracle drug. And the idea that, you know, it's so marvellous to do it naturally, no, it's not. You've got a long-term hormonal deficiency that in 20 years' time is going to make you suffer. And yes, you'll have to walk with creaking joints, or you'll have to take statins, or, you know, you'll be miserable because you'll have to have, you know, a cataract removed. And you think, wow, all these things are affected by me losing my estrogen and probably testosterone and progesterone, but nobody's researched it properly, of course. And you just think, wow. So that's why I sort of keep battling on, because I just think this doesn't need to happen. We don't need to live these lives. Mm. And, you know, we don't need to live these semi-invalided lives as much as we do. And, you know, I want to live the next 20 years, you know, partying. I don't want to be limping around. And, you know, why aren't we talking about that?
So the bigger picture is women's health in general, isn't it? So, and that we have to pass that on to our daughters. We can't, we've got nothing to look back on, or very, very little to look back on research wise. And like you say, the room, I've got an image of a sort of a clunky sign in the corner of the room for the menopause clinic that you couldn't find, you know, that we need to change that. And I think we are, we're starting to, but the whole women's health in general thing drives me bananas because it feels like a fight.
Yeah. Mm. And the other thing that really worries me about the menopause movement, and I'm quite involved because I've got a thing on Instagram called Meno Scandal where I talk about, you know, the issues of the day usually, is that women who are saying, oh, you should take HRT, you should take HRT, you should have HRT after breast cancer, you shouldn't. There's a debate of people saying they're wrong, we're right. And, you know, absolutely, there should not be a debate. What we should be doing is everybody is pro women's health. Everybody is pro the different ways of looking after women. And these are your choices and you need to make your choices, but you also need to make really well-informed choices. And I think women need to know everything and not just one point of view. And I really, really hate, and I try not to get involved in any of these sort of Instagram fights because I think the issues are far, far too important. And there's not anyone I want to see not being given the information that will be good for their health. And so, you know, there's just a lot of people kind of, again, like I said, making money going, oh, have you got hot flushes? This is our fan. You can wear this kind of nightie. What about the night sweats? And the first thing they should be saying is, have you looked into, even in perimenopause, how to get HRT? And that should be the first question. Then those should be the second questions, because maybe you want to cope with it differently for a while or whatever. Fantastic. Yeah. But we really, really need to have a strong medical agenda, I think, here.
Irregular bitches.
The feedback we get from our listeners is often, because obviously I'm on HRT, Lou is now on HRT, mainly because she read about the preventative benefits of it, apart from having bad sleeping problems. You are, Kate. And I do have a lot of people that say, what happens if I can't take it or it doesn't agree with me? Are those medical investigations happening? Or are they finding out that actually most women can take it? What do I say to people that come up to me in the street and say, you're not addressing that, Sarah?
Yeah, I mean, it's no, nobody's doing the research. No, there's not much being done whatsoever on that. There's one kind of group who are researching into this thing called neurokinin B, which basically is about blocking hot flushes, But and they can block hot flushes, which is great, but that doesn't necessarily affect the whole estrogen in the rest of your body and your brain. And so that really, it's not enough. I mean, what doctors need to do is to be better at prescribing HRT, and they don't know things like, you know, I have my own HRT disaster for a number of years, which was I kept bleeding all the time. Happens to so many women. And eventually we worked out I needed a Mirena coil and progesterone at night. And once I had the two working together, I stopped bleeding and it was perfect. Now, a lot of doctors would say, off you go, get a hysterectomy. You know, there are all sorts of other things that could, because I had fibroids and I was using HRT and I'm a complicated case. And I fought it and fought it and fought it. And now I've ended up with it all being okay. But there are lots of women out there who don't know that there are all these possible alternatives. And there are lots of doctors who don't know that there are all these possible alternatives. And just like you were saying, Sarah, you tried one kind of HRT, it was wrong for you, you weren't absorbing the gel, because we've all got different skin, and different coloured skin also absorbs, you know, there's all sorts of complexities we just do not know, because nobody's researched it. But we do have the truth of women, and I think this is the whole story around the menopause. We have the truth of what we say. And we know it to be true. And we were all afraid of saying, I feel like this. I've got brain fog. I've got these hot flushes that make me want to die. You know, and we were afraid to tell our truth to everybody. But it is how we feel. And even though medicine is not researching it, we know that, that's what's there. And we know that, you know, this HRT is not working for us, but another kind might. And, you know, patch works for someone, you know, different kind of gel works for someone. And it's just important to keep going back. But your doctor, you know, they don't have that much time. We need experts. We need menopause clinics. And in the end, it would save the NHS billions if they gave us two HRT appointments and sorted us out. You know, that's all they need to do. And the idea that we wade through this chaos, just as we do with the pill, we've all been on five different pills because one gave us big tits and the other one made us depressed and this one made us feel funny. And that's how we treat teenagers and 20-somethings on the pill. They just get, you know, they're guinea pigs. We're guinea pigs too. And we don't need to be guinea pigs, I don't think. So we should be treated better than that, you know. And I'm angry.
we all are.
but that's where we start, isn't it? In fact, to that end, why do you think now is the time that the menopause revolution? I tried to do a word, menolution. It didn't really work. I tried. But why do you think now? Why do you think us? Do you think it's because we were the sort of girl power from the, you know, the 90s and noughties and the 80s, the Riot Girls, that sort of feminist movement? Do you think that's where it all stems from, or is it just that
I think that's true. I think we're Generation X. I think we fought so hard for equality in the workplace and changed the workplace. And we've also come up through, I was previously involved as a film critic in Time's Up and the Me Too movement in, you know, 95% of films being directed by men when I started as a film critic, and now that's no longer true. But that sort of male vision that we have just punched through on so many fronts. And then, you know, the menopause movement kind of came after the Time's Up and the Me Too movement. And I think, you know, we've just fought so many battles, and we've suddenly come up with this thing and this silence, and we're going like, no way, we are not doing this. And we're articulate, and we're used to talking about our health and our mental health and whether we've been on the pill and having babies. So we've talked about all those things in public as a generation. And here's the next thing. And oh God, we're making a lot of noise. And it's fantastic. I'll tell you what, it's really joyful, isn't it? Because, I mean, when do you get to go on a podcast with two people you've never met? And you're immediately talking about, you know, the size of your clitoris, and it's fantastic.
Yes,
and, you know, I love this world.
I have just had such a wonderful few years going into rooms and going, this happened to me, and then someone tells me their story, and then someone says the next story, and then the fourth person says, oh, that's my story. And we are such good storytellers at passing, you know, these on, and it so matters, because menopause is about 5 million different stories, and each one is different, as we're just aware that we each have a very different menopause. And I have found this community to be extraordinary, and sort of instant friendships, you know, over Instagram, over all sorts of things. And, you know, people like, I met Karen Arthur on kind of, I was looking, you know, I'm going, where is the Black Menopause movement,
fabulous,
right? When I was making a documentary, and I was Googling and Googling, I couldn't find it, and I was Googling Black women, realized I should have been Googling Black sisters. Once I started Googling Black sisters, I entered into this portal to where I was and I realized Karen was really raw after the sort of beginnings of the Black Lives Matter movement, and what she was posting was really interesting. And then I got in touch with her and talked to her, and then she agreed to come on the program, and she made this extraordinary beginning to the Divina program where she just punched through the kind of menopause wall. And also, you know, she's a clothes designer. So she was this joy of sort of riot of colour and intelligence and kind of confidence. And, you know, there were people like that that I met, and, you know, that they've changed my life, and they've changed lots of other people's lives. Just by popping up like that, and I really respect what people are doing and what people are doing for nothing, because most people are not getting paid anything for this, and or very, very little.
It makes me feel very proud, Kate, that you just mentioned two former there it goes, the brain fog, former Irregular Bitches guests, because that was exactly what we wanted. And what Lou and I want to do is remind women that we can laugh about this, that we can have fun, that we can have a good moan, we can have a good drink, we can educate ourselves with wonderful women who know what they're talking about, like you and all the menopause doctors, but also that it's not awful, and it is just a shift, as you know,
it's about solidarity.
So it is about sisters looking after sisters. And I think for a long time, you know, because famously women turn on each other. Do you remember the start of the Big Brother, weirdly, that obviously Davina did? You know, it was always the girls that would turn on each other in the house. And I think that is one of the big things for me that's changing with this menopause revolution, is that we're all starting to look out for each other again. And it's so, we're honestly so grateful for you coming on, Kate. It's been completely eye-opening. I mean, I've just been transfixed by everything you've had
to
say.
I was just wondering if you're able to give us a little idea of what the final part of your trilogy of the documentaries is going to cover.
I think it will be covering relationships and men and the
relationships.
Because, of course, that's a great disaster for so many of us, that, you know, you were saying, Sarah, you came close to divorce. I did divorce. And I wonder what would... There we are. I just wonder... Well, of course, divorce peaks in perimenopause, you know, as does suicide. Mm. And, you know, there's this incredible change. Oof. And we need to realise how to cope with it as men and women, or two women together as partners, or whatever it is, or non-binary people.
Yeah.
You know, there are all... This is a really dangerous moment, and it's also a great moment. And it's about negotiating that relationship leap forward. And I found, since we've been doing this, that men have been brilliant. I mean, I go into a workplace and, you know, there's all these men in suits, and they're at the back of the Zoom going, oh, I wish I wasn't here. And then by the end, they're going, oh, my God, so we can do something about it. Oh, that's great. And they're very practical. They're like, oh, fantastic. I'll tell my wife. I'll tell my girlfriend. You know, and you can realise you have this huge kind of holistic effect on the community as well. So hopefully we will be tackling that, and we also want to tackle the whiteness of menopause at the moment. I think probably I don't quite know.
Cool.
We'll see how.
And also, I think it's important as well to educate, because I think men in the workplace is one thing, but also I've spoken to friends who want to get menopause education in the workplace for the younger women, because apparently younger women can be really like, she's a nasty, moody old witch. You know, I'm really quite ageist towards their menopausal sisters. And as Nadine Baggett said in a former episode, they are prejudicing against their future selves. Yeah. Really, you know, they're hating on that. It will happen. This is what I say to people who are a bit in denial about the menopause, or, you know, they think it's a bit dry, or I'm still moist and all of that stuff. And it's like, it's coming to you. It's like a train down the track, and you might as well educate yourself and be ready for it before it knocks you sideways.
And be kind.
And be kind. I remember what it was like to be 20 and hate on 50-year-olds like me. I remember it vividly. I thought we were all like old hags, but, you know, we're not. We are 90s and noughties birds. who are really rather fucking fabulous.
Irregular bitches.
So, Kate, I just thought I would make you aware that you are actually responsible, or potentially responsible, because I'm not 100% decided, but I think I'm there, for my next tattoo.
What is that?
Really? This is news to me too, Kate.
Not your face, on my leg, don't worry. Yeah, no, well, I've taken it from your book, and I think you could probably work out what it is, but I read it and I kept going back to it, back to it, back to it. And I think it's my next tattoo. And it's metamorphosis, not
Aww,
misery.
That's fantastic.
I love that. And I think that fits in perfectly with what we're all trying to do. And yes, it were on my back. So I'll let you know. I will send you a photograph.
I feel really moved.
It takes me a while. It takes me a while for stuff to land, but I can see it across my back. So if I go ahead, I will absolutely send you a photograph. So thank you. Because I've only got one big other tattoo. It's not like I'm covered, but this could be my second big tattoo. So
I love that, Lou. That's amazing.
It's fabulous. Metamorphosis, not misery. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I won't try saying that this morning. My brain fog is at its worst. It's before I eat. It's very bad. Oh, Lou, thank you for sharing that. That's epic. And as I said, thank you so much for joining us, Kate. We appreciate your time so much. Keep on taking our cause to the masses. Be angry. Be forthright. Be on the front line. And send our love to Davina. Tell her she's welcome as a guest anytime. I love her. Will you please give her a big Kaywood Scrooge? Because she always was so warm and kind to me in the 90s when I was a little pipsqueak and I was just nervous to be in a room with all these celebrities. And she always put me at ease. And I really appreciate that. She's wonderful. That's all we've got time for today. As ever, thanks to my hubby Andy for producing and editing, and to Jake at Chopasaurus for our titles music, and massive thanks to Kate for being our guest. Now, just before we go, we have a huge favour to ask. We want to keep making Irregular Bitches because we think it's an important space for midlife women to both educate themselves about perimenopause and menopause, and then laugh about the whole sorry mess with a large G&T. So we need you to share the fuck out of this podcast. I make no apologies for the swear word. Tell friends, family, share on your socials, and keep us in the podsphere, people. Like, share and review, my girls. Last word to Lulu, though, because we know she likes to have it.
Always. And that's stay cool, bitches.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.